welcome to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, today it's Friday. Woohoo! Fridays are always good because it means that we've got the weekend ahead. But we want to make sure that we're careful with our dogs and our families over the holidays because people are still shooting off fireworks. They seem to have missed the fact that July 4th and Labor Day are both gone already. So, unfortunately, a lot of dogs with noise sensitivities or that didn't have noise sensitivities are developing sensitivities at this point. So what can you do when your dog has a sensitivity to loud noises and you live somewhere where there could conceivably be noises or fireworks or backfires or whatever? Well, first thing to do is make sure that your dog trusts you. Make sure that your dog feels that you are protecting him, that you're taking care of him so he's safe. Think about it from a human viewpoint. If you had a child who had never seen fireworks, and compare this to kids in some of the troubled areas in Europe and the communist bloc countries, or in the Palestinian area or in Israel, where, you know, fireworks, unfortunately, there must bring some pretty serious PTSD to some of the children. Because a firework in Israel means you're probably being bombed and you run for your life. Amazingly, though, from some of my friends who've been in that Middle Eastern area, they say that, remarkably, people don't run so much because they get very conditioned to it. But imagine if you're a child who's never seen fireworks, and you are now 7 years old, and you don't know what happened before, but let's just say that you've been a very sheltered life, and you have never heard loud noises. All of a sudden, you see flashes and bangs and crashes, and you hear just things bouncing, and you don't know quite where it's coming from. Imagine how afraid you would be as a child of what that might be. You don't know what it is. And the problem is that if you don't know where that noise is coming from, you might misperceive that and think that, wow, that's going to try to get me, and maybe I'm going to be in danger. Remember, if it's your job to be the provider and the protector and to take care of your dog and your children, then the animal shouldn't be afraid, nor should the child be afraid of anything that happens because you are in charge. So if your dog does start to develop a noise sensitivity, just very simply, make sure that you don't reinforce that by, you know, inadvertently petting the dog or saying, oh, it's okay, honey. It's okay. You don't have to worry. It's okay for you to be afraid. Well, you know what? It's not okay for you to be afraid. It's really not, because if you're letting that dog be afraid, that means that he doesn't trust you, that you are the leader. And if you're not his leader and he's fearful, then he's thinking that he's on his own, and he doesn't understand, unfortunately, that, you know, you are the one who is supposed to be taking care of him. And he might, well, unfortunately, think that maybe he's got to take care of himself. So this is a very important point, because unfortunately a lot of people do have dogs with noise sensitivities, and if you don't know what to do in that moment, you can create a potentially lifelong issue. Now, sometimes you'll have a dog who's, let's say like a dog who's feral, a dog who doesn't really have a lot of human interaction, and now it hears loud noises. Well, obviously that dog is going to take longer to rehabilitate than a dog who's been your, you know, trusty, handy-dandy best buddy, and fireworks are thrown in front of him, and now he becomes fearful of certain situations. But the main thing is you want to have that trust. You want to have that connection, that bond with your dog. Some people might not understand that, and they might think, oh, you know, just, you know, take the leash and just drag the dog, you know, up to the fireworks, and he'll get over it. Well, yeah, he may get over it. He may bite you or bite somebody else or maybe just terrified. And think what you will, but it doesn't make sense to make more fear and to instill more fear into a dog. It makes sense to build up their confidence, not by dragging them into the scary situation, but by you just going into that situation and by your confidence showing that dog that there's truly nothing to worry about. In my new book, which is really an amazing book, I'm so pleased, and my editor just loves it, and it's going to be great because it really goes into the physical, the psychological, and even some of the chemical reasoning why dogs have certain behavioral issues. It also talks a lot about things from when I was 17, 18 years old. I had done some research for one of my in my degree in animal behavior. One of the things that we were talking about is imprinting, which is something that's really, really important. And sometimes, even when a dog or a human is not in that imprint period where they're very young, it can still make almost like PTSD-like symptoms, where a dog will suddenly become fearful of a certain situation. We've all heard about, you know, military veterans who have PTSD, and certainly when the, you know, World War I and World War II guys, there were occasionally these guys who, you know, had a hard time transitioning back into civilian life. But now it seems, and it doesn't seem as the wars are as, well, maybe as serious. I don't know how the quantification of war, but it seems like many more people are claiming PTSD, not just in, you know, wars and so on, but just from a single solitary incident. Now, does that mean that that person does not have symptoms? No, it doesn't mean that. But it's becoming a catch-all. And what we need to do is to still hold the dog or the human accountable for his actions. So if somebody says, well, I've got PTSD because I saw, you know, this terrible thing, it does not mean that we can't feel sorry for you or pity you or try to help you, but it doesn't make that reaction okay. That's what I'm saying. It's saying that not that you might not have real circumstances or real issues that came from that incident, but you still rather than labeling it like everybody was ADD or ADHD, 15, 20 years ago, every child was ADD or ADHD, and they were medicating it. Instead of teaching the kids, well, maybe some kids did need medication, but most didn't. And this is from a lot of medical research and a lot of psychiatrists, psychologists that I've unfortunately or fortunately had to work with because of children whom I deal with service dogs and in-school facility dogs that we are always training at merlinskids.org and unitedcanineprofessionals.com. But sometimes the PTSD symptoms are more brought on by the fact that we are not giving people or the animal a future to look at. If you have PTSD or if someone has an issue, a PTSD-like issue, yes, we understand what happened, and, you know, the brain is a very complex thing, but you can't keep the dog or the human in the past, because if you keep the dog or the human in the past, then that person or animal will never be able to get into the future, and that's where the problem is right now, where everyone's kind of trying to get a dog, like a service dog, and saying, I have PTSD. If you can function well enough that you were able to do it without a dog, then your PTSD probably doesn't require a dog. I work, and at Merlin's Kids and United Canine Professionals, we work with a lot of veterans, and we work with a lot of even children, unfortunately, with serious PTSD, really horrible things that I won't even go into. And one of the main things is, if that person was not able to function, the dog can be very helpful to help them function, but they've still got to try and they've still got to work hard in order to overcome that so that someday they might not need that dog. And that's the real goal. It's not about somebody making money doing something. It's about helping the dog or this human to get past the situation, past its past, and show it the future. So we're going to return in a moment. Please stay tuned for another exciting episode. Be right back.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
Welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, and of course, no show would ever be complete without a shout-out to the future Dr. Jody Joseph and to our wonderful staff and team of more than 150 behaviorists around the country through UnitedCanineProfessionals.com. And we're also very excited to welcome to our team another member from Bulgaria, and he is awesome. His name is Radoslav, and he is going to be waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning in order to go through our training at United Canine Professionals. He's going to be waking up every morning at 3 in the morning to be in class for an hour and a half, and he is so excited to do this, and we are so excited to have our second member from Bulgaria, which is just very exciting. And thank you, Gary, for turning Radoslav into a dog aficionado, and we're very excited to have him on our team as well. So, we're talking about fear, we're talking about PTSD, we're talking about trauma with your dog, and you can really relate it to humans as well. Now, one of my very, very good friends, and everybody who's been listening for even a few episodes knows, I'm very close friends with Dr. Temple Grandin, who is just a wonderful, wonderful human being, and just brilliant. And, you know, there's a big difference between somebody thinking they're smart and truly being smart. Temple is just brilliant. She's written some of the really wonderful things in my new book, and she and I have discussed some of the studies on behavior that have been done from everywhere from the 1800s all the way up to the last couple of years. And right now, United Canine Professionals and Merlin's Kids are at the forefront with several teaching hospitals, cancer hospitals, as well as a couple of large insurance companies and universities that are helping us, as well as some schools, and actually we have quite a few schools, that are working on research to see how do children and how do people in general benefit from the reduction of the stress hormones that people with PTSD tend to have. So remember, once we do this research, and this is all scientific research with professors and research assistants and all that we have been doing now for several years, and that we will be publishing that as soon as we have all the results in, but we've got some preliminary findings. One of the main things is that if you continue to harp on and relive and talk about ad infinitum, ad nauseum, about someone's past, it will tend to keep them in the past. If you want to get someone past their past, you've got to teach them and show them that there's a future. Now, why do I bring this up? Well, we researched with chickens, we've researched with dogs, we've researched with horses. and other animals and foxes. And we've done all this research and done really a lot of painstaking work on this, because behavior is behavior. Certain things will be a trigger, not just with a chicken, and not just with a baby hawk, and not just with a duckling, and not just with a cat, and not just with a fox, and not just with a dog, and not just with a child, with anything, because behavior is based on the chemical receptors in the brain. And we have some wonderful people, Cynthia, Caitlin, and Jessica, and we have a couple of other people who are working very, very fiercely with our team across the country, and Jesse as well. And these people are helping us to be able to understand better why and how the interaction with dogs and with animals in general is able to help people and get them past their past. Now, why are we talking about humans? Because humans own dogs. So what we have to do is remember that when we have a dog or a human who has a noise sensitivity, a visual sensation, you know, sensitivity, they're overstimulated by certain responses or certain activities or certain, you know, things that are happening. It really goes across the board as far as understanding behavior in other species. So, for instance, PTSD, the trauma that a soldier might see and feel at the time he witnesses his buddy being shot and cut in half. And unfortunately, I know somebody very close to me who had that experience. But you either keep that person in the past, or even firefighters who have to pull a dead child out of a fire. I mean, just imagine, and that's on a daily basis, these poor guys in Chicago and Detroit and New York and some of the inner city areas across the world and across the country. You know, these people have to deal with this. So one of the ways that we do this is by having the animals come and help. And the animals are great. And we actually at United Canine Professionals and Merlin's Kids, and if you want to reach us, you can contact us at the either of the 800 numbers, 855, the number 4, the letter K, the number 9, the word PROS, P-R-O-S, 855-4-K-9-PROS, or through Merlin's Kids, 855-HI-WYATT, and you'll be able to contact us if you're interested in either collaborating on some of the research that we're doing with several of the universities across the country, or if you're interested in joining our team and understanding why animals do what they do and understanding why people do what they do. And if you'd like to join our team and become a canine behaviorist and be certified in natural canine behavior rehabilitation, you are more than welcome to contact us. We have classes beginning. Actually, we're in our second week right now, and we have classes beginning every several months. But if you're interested in that and you want to be a part of a great team that's growing across the world, please let us know, because we need you. We need help from everyone, and that's sometimes the greatest thing we can do, is to corroborate and collaborate with other people who have different thoughts. If you walk around thinking you know everything, like my phrase, I always say, if you think you know everything, it proves you know nothing. If you think that you know more than anybody else, you may know a lot about something, but you don't know everything. My friend Temple is the most brilliant human being I've ever spoken to, I've ever met. And I've been around some pretty brilliant think tank people at Mensa, because I've been one of them for a long time and in think tanks as well. And, you know, you have the people who think they know and are impressed with what they think they know, and then you have people who want to know exactly why. That's why we're doing so much research right now on the chemical basis of cognition and memory and learning, because that's how we can better understand why the animals are doing what they're doing and why people have trauma and why these single incidences can happen so quickly and can leave such a lasting impression. So it is really, really cool research that we're doing right now. And if you are somebody who wants to be a research fellow, or you're looking for a great project, or like I said, if you're looking to learn how to do the proper way of training service dogs or cancer detection, disease detection dogs, let us know, because we're always looking for the right motivated thinkers not someone who's going to take our classes and courses and be certified and never ask a question. We want people to ask why, and we don't shoot people down for asking why. We want you to know why, and we will find out why, and that's how we all as a team get stronger, because we are really just looking for the right answer. We are really just looking to make sure that we can change the world. We can save the world two lives at a time. And the reason I trademarked my phrase, saving the world two lives at a time, is because we do it with shelter dogs that we've gotten for years and years. We get shelter dogs, we rehabilitate them, and then we train them to become service dogs for special needs kids and for veterans. So we're going to talk more about that in a little bit, right in about, a minute. So stay tuned. Thanks.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. Gosh, I love saying the name of our show. It's just the best, and we are just having so much fun today. Right now, I'm actually at my studio looking out the window and watching my adorable Rhodesian Ridgebacks in the backyard playing on many, many acres here and watching them trot and look beautiful and just do their thing and play and have fun. And that's what service dogs should do when they're off. They, you know, a lot of people don't understand that how service dogs work. And some people really do overwork the dogs, especially certain types of dogs that they don't realize that the dog needs some downtime. It's like if you were always working and you never got to rest and just turn your button off. So let's talk a little bit about the PTSD aspect with a dog. We started the show with a dog who had noise sensitivities to fireworks, and we were basically talking about that in relation to a child who might hear something or a child walking around in a country that there might be bombing, and thankfully the United States of America is still strong despite government and politicians and presidents that we may or may not like. We are still strong because we are a team. The United States was never the greatest team in the world like it was after 9/11. Everyone had an American flag up. Everyone was nice to each other. Everyone let everyone else go in line. We were talking. We were somber. We were sullen. But we were strong. Now imagine a dog who goes through trauma, and he's living with that, and he can't really express himself, and we keep him working, and we keep doing more and more and more and more, eventually he may just shut down. And some dogs can shut down. So what do you do when you've overstimulated or your dog has become overstimulated from an incident? What do you do to get your dog out of that? You show him the future. You show him where he can go, what he can do. If he's afraid of something, don't turn and run. Remember your old days of Bio 101? Fight, flight, avoid, or submit. Remember that, everyone? If you took a biology class and you were at a halfway decent college, you know exactly what that is. You can fight. So if a dog sees something that's approaching that he's fearful or nervous or dominant over, he's got that choice. He can fight. But realistically, we are in charge. We are his owner. We are his leader. We are his mother, his pet parent, whatever. We make that decision for him. Now, I'm not going to have my pack fight. But if I'm faced with, let's say, a dog coming down the road that looks like it's going to attack my pack, and I'm out with four of my guys, I'm not going to run. I'm going to stand my ground if I have to. If I have to fight, we will fight, and we will win. Because I will not, everybody knows me, all my friends, and have so many friends and wonderful people around me. People know if Janice argues about a point, just back off, because she does not argue unless she's 100% sure. And that's what's very important for your dog to feel, that you are 100% on, so that if you take your dog or your horse or your animal with you into something that might appear scary or dangerous, if you are actually strong and confident, not that you're going to fight, but that you're going to go toward it because you are in charge and you're stronger because you have that confidence behind you. The next choice you could do is you could flee, which is flight. F-L-E-E, not F-L-E-A, like the bug. Flee. You can flee. Flight is the noun form of the verb flee. So flight. You can run. Well, my pack will never see me run because I am not afraid of anything. Two-time cancer survivor, a lot of other things, all kinds of stuff in my life. I am not afraid of too much. Actually, I'm not afraid of really anything. So I'm not going to run, and I'm certainly not going to run if my pack is looking to me to be the leader. But we don't want to run, but we really don't want to fight either. Do we really want to be at the vet's office with dog bites? Possibly on our dog from the other dog who might not have been the brightest? No. So we really don't want to fight, but if we have to, I will. Flee. We don't want to ever show our pack that we're afraid, so we're not going to flee. You can avoid. Aha. You can avoid it, but don't take avoiding it to the nth degree where you begin to avoid anything before it happens. That's where you start to anticipate something before it happens, and now your dog starts looking at you as, oh, you're not even going to go near there. That must be bad, or that must be scary, but that is not the way to go. However, if you're faced with an issue, if you're faced with fireworks in the distance, don't turn and pivot and run the other way, because that is fleeing. Think about if you were going to fight, you'd go toward it. If you were going to flee, you would turn and run immediately. You never, ever, ever want to do that. But if you're avoiding, make a very gradual loop. So if you're walking down the block and you see something scary, a dog loose or, you know, crazy person, God knows there are a lot of them out there, a scary, you know, something on in the road, a car coming, a train, whatever it is, you're going to turn and make a gradual loop like the outside portion of a paperclip. Not turning and pivoting, but looping gently around. So if you see something coming, make a loop. Let's say you're coming down the street and you're on the left side. Make a loop from left, a half circle, all the way around until you get to the right side of the street, and then walk that way. Then the dog won't feel that you're submitting or that you're fleeing. He will feel that you are going somewhere else. Remember, your energy should be taking you toward things, not away from things. Very important concept. The fourth thing, fight, flight, avoid, or submit. Well, hopefully no one's going to submit, because if you give up and you submit, that means you are about the loserest leader ever. Because not that we want to fight, because people who are passive-aggressive, people who are dominant-aggressive, and the same thing with dogs, they kind of hold it in. And what happens is it bottles up, and they become so angry that they explode. And that's a very dangerous thing. We don't want to make our dog do that either. Because if the dog is afraid, or if the dog is not trusting our ability to be his leader, his provider and protector, he may get to that point where he just doesn't trust you to such a degree that when something happens, when that child comes toward him with a balloon, when the child comes at him with holding something shiny or a hot dog or whatever it is, and you have not provided and protected that dog, what can happen is the dog may suddenly, like someone who's passive-aggressive, suddenly snap. And that's where you get an unpredictable behavior. Now, with a dog who is unpredictable, typically, 99.9% of the time, and I would say 100, but I'm sure there's one dog somewhere that doesn't fit the mold out of the 25,000-plus dogs that I've rehabilitated already with behavioral issues that do not have behavioral issues now. 99.9% of the time, a dog who is unpredictable is a dog who is fearful or uncertain. And that's one of the great things in my book, actually. I included a section on fear versus uncertainty because some dogs can be uncertain. They're usually not quite as unpredictable. But a dog who is fearful becomes very unpredictable because there's nothing keeping that dog's brain going forward into the future. And instead, the dog becomes more and more fearful until he finally snaps. And that's the worst feeling in the world, especially when you have a dog for 10 or 15 years and you just, he's your best friend. And now you're faced with, oh my gosh, he bit a child in the face. And I'm going to have to euthanize my dog and I'm going to get, well, I just got a phone, an email from someone asking for my help. And that's exactly what happened to her, and her dog is at the animal shelter now. It's just very sad. We love these dogs. We've got to do right by them. We will be right back with our next segment. Stay tuned.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, we're talking dogs, and we're talking about what makes dogs react. So we have our dog who is afraid. And when a dog is afraid, it doesn't mean that he's always afraid, but fear is one of those emotions that with a dog or a human can make animals and humans do very, very unpredictable and potentially dangerous things. You have to understand why. You can't just blanket say, oh, okay, it's a dog, and let's just, let's go just drag it into that scary thing of fireworks. Because what's going to happen, will the dog go? Well, yes, he's on a leash, so he'll be choking and coughing and hacking the whole way, and you can prove you're a big shot, and look, I'm dragging my dog to the fireworks. But the problem is, your dog is losing trust in you. It's a very, very fine balance and a fine line between a dog who is going with you because he trusts you versus a dog who's going with you because he fears you. Plato, Machiavelli, some of the greatest, greatest works ever. Aristotle. There was Machiavelli's very, very famous book, not the one that most people have read, but it's called The Prince. In The Prince, Machiavelli speaks about the difference between being loved and feared. And it talks, it's basically a prince's guidebook or a handbook to how to be a leader. It's a really, really fascinating study of humans, and it's really applicable as well to animals in many respects. So let's say your dog fears you. Your dog is afraid of you, so he doesn't misbehave because he's afraid of you. He doesn't react because he's terrified of what you might do to him if he does something wrong. Does the dog misbehave? No. Is the dog confident, stable dog? No way. Now let's take the opposite. Is it better to be loved? Well, as a leader, as a president, perhaps. But as a dog, that's what I want. I don't want my dogs to fear me. I don't want a dog to ever look, and when somebody takes a picture and says, look at this dog used to be, you know, scared of everything. He was running around, even though we were able to put a leash on him right away. But he was a feral dog. That is so wrong, because when you look at a photo of a dog, you can look through it and look at its eyes. And that dog is still fearful. It's not reacting, and it's not having, you know, serious behavioral issues, not because it's stable and confident and happy and well-balanced. It's doing that because it's fearful. And anytime you're going to evoke fear, you're going to make a dog or human reactive to something that you may not even know yet, but you will find out one day, and it will come up. So that's why we don't believe in any punitive methods, shock collars, choker chains, prong collars, penny cans, throwing things, squirting things at the dog, throwing chains at the dog, which there's a large company that does that, which is absolutely ridiculous. You know, you don't want to make a dog fearful. Can it remove the behavior? Yeah, you're creating PTSD in your dog. You're creating fear in your dog. So your dog says, I'm not going to go over there and jump on people because some idiot is going to knee me in the chest or shoot me in the face with something. So what you do, without realizing it, even though you don't know what you don't know, what really happens is suddenly the dog stops doing that behavior. But he's not doing that behavior because he is stable and well-balanced and confident. He's not doing the behavior because he's scared. So anytime you're evoking fear in a dog, you're letting yourself open to the potential of having that dog become reactive in the future. And I'm telling you, someday something's going to happen. So you might see immediate results, but that doesn't mean that dog is going to trust you or have a bond with you. Now, how about if the dog is reacting out of love and out of respect for you, and he trusts you? That dog is going to be the dog that's predictable. Why is he predictable? Because he knows that you're taking care of him. This has happened to me so many times with Whisper, with Wyatt, with Lexi, with Bubble, with, I have a lot of dogs. I won't name them all. But so many of my dogs, because I use my dogs as kind of crash test dummies, although they're not stupid at all, they love me, but more importantly, they trust me. I'm not unstable. I'm a very, very stable person. And they know that if they do something wrong, I'm not going to hurt them. I'm going to teach them. So what winds up happening is I don't need a leash. What winds up happening is they are the best dogs in the world, because they know that I'm safe. And as I speak to you, I've got half of my pack up here in my room with me here in the studio. And we've got Wyatt and Wispa and Brandy and Fallon and Lexi and the new Kira, the new puppy, and somebody over there I can't see, but it's a brown dog, so it must be mine. They're sleeping. Anybody who private messages me or anybody who Facebook friends me, Janice Wolf, with a little Rhodesian Ridgeback and a beautiful picture of my Wyatt. If you Facebook friend me, you'll see, and I keep things public because I believe in full disclosure, and I think it's very important. So let's just say that if you have a picture, and I've got four dogs on the bed, and I go in to get into the bed, how many dogs do you think are going to stay on that bed? None. Because I'm going to get into the bed first because it's my bed. I don't have to yell at my dogs. They just know, oh, mom's coming in. let me get off. She gets to pick her place, and then I get to snuggle up against her. That's love, and that's a stable, confident dog. That's why my dogs are good with screaming children and bringing a dog from a shelter in, and like which I'm going to be doing again Sunday, bringing a couple of dogs in that I've never met. My dogs will be fine, and if those dogs should happen to go after any of my dogs, I will take care of it. So my dogs will basically ignore those new dogs who come in. Now, there are different things that are in the mix. If you're upset, if you're tense, you're nervous, you're frustrated, you're angry, you're anxious, you're grieving, where your energy starts changing. Then, just imagine, if you're fearful and you're walking towards fireworks, the energy that you're portraying and that you're basically emitting from every pore in your body and from your breath, which is why we can do cortisol detection and other chemicals, that we can tell stress hormones and work with children and PTSD victims. But all of those things will be coming out of your breath, every pore of your skin. The smells will come through. That's actually one of the ways we train seizure alert dogs, is through the smell that's emitted by the breath and the skin as you're having a seizure. Now, we do it in a different way. If it's an electrical impulse issue, we're actually able to train the dogs to detect the electrical impulses in the brain and be able to detect that before it comes out anywhere else. And sometimes it doesn't come out anywhere else. Sometimes it just is that, and you're good to go on that. And if you don't know how to train a dog to do that, it's a pretty horrible seizure dog. I just heard from a lady who is, I believe, in California, who purchased a dog for seizures and for her daughter. And her daughter had seizures all the time, and the dog just lays there. Well, that's somebody who got ripped off of $25,000. But the dog should be able to detect not only the physical and chemical changes, but should also be able to notice different mannerisms that may change or the aura that precedes and follows the type of seizure that the child's having. Very interesting stuff. If you're interested in the research, like you can see, I'm not a dog trainer. It's not about the dogs. It's about understanding chemicals. It's understanding, and I don't mean the chemicals you smoke or drink. I mean chemicals in the brain, chemicals that change the way we think and the way memories are created. It's really fascinating. Well, we will be back in just a moment. Please stay tuned for our last segment. We'll be right back.
Dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience Pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, we are talking about dogs, and we're talking about the way that dogs are able to smell different smells. And it's great because if you think about a fireworks or anything like that, you think about an explosion. We don't know what we don't know as humans. There are many more things that the human race does not know about humans and life and animals and the world and the globe and the universe than things we do know. If we knew everything, there would be no more reason for scientific research. No one would be getting cancer, strokes, seizures, hypoglycemia, gout, anything. because we would have an answer for it. There'd be a generic vaccination that would be given at birth, and even so, we would genetically and through natural selection, Charles Darwin, we would be changing so that we would just live forever. We wouldn't need to procreate because we'd all be living forever. So forget about that. And we wouldn't age because if we aged, then there would be a need to replace and replenish the generations who are aging. And someday all of us will be there, some of us quicker than others. But the main thing is that it's very important to understand is when you are your dog's or your child's leader, that they need to be able to look up to you as the one who's going to care for them and provide for their needs and protect them from danger. So it's just basic common sense being a human, but as a lot of people always say, common sense isn't all that common. And it's not about egos. It's not about everybody knowing who you are. It's about leaving something wonderful here, that the world was a better place because you were in it. And that's what I hope to do. And I work really, really hard every day, and I spend all my own money and enjoy doing it to be able to provide free service dogs for children with autism and other special needs, for veterans who have legitimate PTSD, not people running around who are just claiming things, because to me, that's mocking those people. And it's funny how karma, what comes around goes around, and people who mock other people will be dealt with, not by anyone here on earth, but they will be dealt with in later in life or in death. So the key is here, do not create a situation where you lose the trust of your child or of your spouse or of your dog, because it is very hard to get that back. So if you are bringing your dog into an environment that potentially is harmful or dangerous or scary, think twice about how you're going to do it. Don't anticipate, but go there calmly. Go there with confidence. Stay for a little while. And don't leave because the dog had a bad reaction. Leave when the dog is having a good reaction. If you take your dog to fireworks and everything's great, and or a graduation ceremony or whatever it is, and things are going well and he's fine, that's great. But if he starts having problems, you can't leave when the problems are happening. You don't want to leave until the problems have been solved and now that the dog is not reacting. So remember, fight, flight, avoid, or submit. If you're going to fight, that's not going to be a good experience for him. If you're going to flee, you're going to run, that is not going to be a good thing because your dog is going to feel that you have let him down because you are not, being a good, solid, stable, confident leader. You can avoid, which is good, or you can submit, which is not good. So basically, what we're going to be doing in the future, and I'm going to talk about a few other things before we have to wrap up today's show, we have people who know, we have people who think they know, and then we have people who just don't know what they don't know, but they think they have all the knowledge in the world. I'm the first one to say that I can learn something from anybody, whether the person is 5 years old or 95 years of age. We can all learn from every dog that I rehabilitate, and I'm typically doing about 15 classes with private people every single week. Sometimes I do more than that because I will work 6 or 7 days straight. But that is to be able to help those dogs who no one else can help. That's one of the reasons we started United Canine Professionals. United, the letter K, the number 9, professionals.com is an amazing group of people around the world. And we're in 8 countries now, plus the U.S. So we're all over, and we're always looking for people from other countries, as well as, of course, in the U.S. We have people from California to New Jersey. We have people in the Cape Cod area. We have people up in all over the Northeast. We have people in northern Washington State now we're bringing aboard. We have people in Texas, Louisiana, Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma, you name it, Arizona, New Mexico, all over the country who we have trained. And we're looking for more people always for our future classes. because we want to help more people to have that information, to have that knowledge. And it's not expensive. We're not doing this to make money. We're not doing this to make a name for ourselves. We already have a ton of people. And I'm on TV and radio more than I'd like to be. The key is being able to leave something wonderful when we pass from this planet so that we saved lives, we impacted lives, we gave people and dogs purpose. And that is the part that if you don't get it, you will never get it. Because the problem is that too many people are there just for their own self-aggrandizement, they're self-effacing, they're people who are just looking to make a name or make a buck on the backs of others, and people who are making other people with issues have to fundraise and do all that and beg and borrow for a dollar. We're always grateful to anyone who wants to make a donation, of course, tax-deductible to Merlin's Kids. And they can do that on merlinskids.org. All the proceeds of my book, which is an amazing new book called Shh Happens, and it is a series, there is now the third in the series, are Wyatt stuffed animals, which are Rhodesian Ridgeback stuffed animals, custom made. They are Wyatt. They are being shipped right now, and we will have them very shortly. All the money from that as well, and all the money from my books, from the e-books, and the My Name is Wyatt book series, and my therapeutic behavioral intervention and therapeutic facilitation books, those which Temple has kind of goaded me to write. All that money goes to helping to rescue more dogs from shelters around the country and rescues, rehabilitate them, and train them to become service dogs for special needs children and for people in schools, and do cancer detection. So we are truly saving the world two lives at a time. Some people talk about things, some people do them. United Canine Professionals and Merlin's Kids, we do things. We make things happen. And if you want to be, or if you know someone who's young or older, who wants a career, who wants to learn the right way to do it, a way that we can be all supporting each other, having an amazing team, a force to be reckoned with, as my good friend Dawn always says, and I have lots of amazing friends, but, you know, we want to be not the biggest or the brightest or the whatever. We just want to be there helping everything, helping everyone. Most of our people have, many of them, we have prosecutors, veterinarians, we have actually quite a few, nurses, doctors, we have teachers, we have scientists, we have engineers that are with United Canine Professionals. But it's all a bunch of like-minded, amazing people with very high moral standards, with very, very high hopes of changing the world. And if we can get together and prevent the senseless euthanasia of more than 4 million dogs every year in this country, then we have fulfilled our mission and we are happy. So remember, if you want to join our team, you can check it out on the Join Our Team on the website, www.unitedk9professionals.com. Or if you'd like to be a volunteer or a foster, no matter where you are in the country, or you'd like to learn how to train service dogs or cancer detection and disease detection dogs, or if you're a teacher or a professional and you're looking to implement a new program in animal adaptive therapy, please contact us at 855-HI-WYATT or at www.merlinskids.org. We have to go for today, but thank you so much for sharing our time with us. Have a wonderful weekend. God bless, and be safe. So long.